We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land out there. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. A little different story today outside. 65 presently right now. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 40. Winds are out of the straight out of the north at 20 miles an hour, gusting up to 27 right now. It's supposed to be gust to 30-35 miles an hour later on today, so get ready. Skirt alert. So anyway, the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast be later on the hour, coming up in about 10 minutes. Brent Metter will be in here from North Fork Electric Co-op talking with me for a little bit, so he'll be in here. But meanwhile, hot off the press, I know you guys, there's somebody out there needing a tax write-off before the end of the year, so we found you one. There's no other like it in Texas. Massive ranch goes on sale for an eye-popping $200 million. Nearly 80,000 acres of West Texas ranch land with historic roots has hit the market for a whopping $200 million price tag. 5 months ago, the Dallas-based real estate broker Icon Global Group announced that the owners of the Turkey Track Ranch near Borger in Texas Panhandle was planning to sell their property after 100 years of family stewardship. The ranch was founded in the 1870s along 26 miles of the Canadian River. So Icon Global is launching in its marketing campaign and disclosing the ranch's valuation of $200 million. Capital Farm Credit appraised it, and they're willing to finance it if anybody's interested. So, you know, 25% down, what's that, $50 million? I know we got some cotton farmers out there. Be glad to buy that and start growing some cotton there along that Canadian River. There north of Borger, or through Borger, and you know it's not that far to Pampa for the to get it GN. So there's your tax write-off for the year. Well, farm grain prices today, hard red winter wheat is $7.20 a bushel. Man, it's just slowly going upwards. And I read a report earlier from a crop analyst who said he just couldn't believe that the prices were still steady or going up, because this time of the year, things usually not plunge, but they just go down a little bit. But it's hanging in there. Wheat's up, what, almost 18 cents from yesterday. So corn is 5.31 and steady. Soybeans are up a little more. They're at 11.79 a bushel. Milo is at $5.34 a bushel. I ran across some numbers, got five of them here. I'll read to you real quick. This just shows you how bad it is in North Dakota. Some of the soybean harvest that's already been reported. Of the ones reported so far in Iowa, in Ohio, the average bushel is 64.3 bushels per acre being harvested right now. Illinois, 39 bushels per acre. Iowa, 29 bushels per acre. Mississippi, 29 bushels per acre. And in North Dakota, they're averaging 13 bushels an acre. And them are the guys been getting hit. South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Washington, Oregon, Montana, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona. And he's in the house, Mr. Metter, sit down. And but they've been hit really hard by the drought this year. Soybean futures were higher in overnight trading and rising edible oil prices globally. Palm oil futures in Malaysia, which competes on the world stage with soybean oil, jumped another 1.4% in overnight trading exports from the Asian country, the second largest producer of palm oil, in the first 3 weeks of October fell almost 8% from the same time frame last year. In the U.S., soybean oil prices today hit the highest level in more than 2 months. Grain prices were also higher overnight amid strong demand for U.S. agriculture products. The USDA said exporters announced sales of soybean and corn for offshore delivery 4 times last week. So far this week, however, no sales of 100,000 metric tons have been announced. Keeping a lid on prices, however, is the pace of the U.S. harvest in the United States. 60% of the soybean crop was harvested as of Sunday, up from 49% last week and up from the 5-year average of 55%. About 52% of corn was in the bin at the start of the week, up from 41% last week and the average of 41% from this time of the year last year. Winter wheat planting also continued with 70% in the ground, up from 60% a week earlier, but behind the prior average of 71% in the 5-year average. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 9.25 cents to $12.46 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $1.70 to $324.30 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.96 to the $63.35 a pound deal. Corn futures for December delivery was up 3.25 at $5.33.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery added 4.5 cents to $7.40.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose a 0.5 cent to $7.48.75. Winter weather advisory issued. It's coming. And in parts of South Dakota and Nebraska, a winter weather advisory is in effect this morning in parts of southwest South Dakota, northwest Nebraska, and northeastern Wyoming this morning as a storm rolls through that area. According to the National Weather Service, up to 3 inches of snow is expected in the region. The advisory is in effect till 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Roads are expected to be slippery, and some roads, like, will be snowpacked. Well, I worked in Wyoming, Mr. Brent. When that wind blows up there,
it's cold.
It's cold. It's wicked. It's mean. And it's just, it's a different wind than here. It's windy
it
here.
It is not fun.
It's not fun. I mean, you could have 1 inch of snow and it just a light snow coming down, and you're going up I-25 and it's a complete whiteout. You know, semis are everywhere off the road, and it's just that much snow. But just the things to make things miserable. A couple other things before we take a break and we come back and get Mr. Boss Man from North Fork on the radio. We got, where's it at? Oh, from Mackie down at Hobart, FFA teacher. She sent me a deal. The Hobart FFA labor auction will be tomorrow, October 21st at 6 p.m. at the Women's Exhibit Building there in Hobart. Brisket dinner from Cozy's will be there. So go support your local FFA. Those auctions go a long ways in those FFA groups. You know this.
You bet.
And
without them, they can't do what they do.
They can't do what they do. So all my friends down there in Kiowa County, you guys be sure and attend that tomorrow night. I mean, I know we're busy stripping cotton, harvesting peanuts. Some people still getting wheat in. I hadn't even started. So
it's still early.
Well, I don't.
I still see grasshoppers around.
I swathed my hay the day before yesterday, and it was an average of 10 to 15 grasshoppers in front of my swather flying the whole time.
Yep.
And I seen some birds, blackbirds, flying around some wheat fields yesterday and landing, so that might not be good. So
plenty early.
Yep. Saturday. You know what? Are you a hunter?
I am not much of a hunter.
Saturday is smoke pole day. It started a muzzleload season.
Black powder.
Yeah.
Yes.
It starts Saturday, so everybody get their orange out, get it dusted off. Make sure you wear your orange, because Lieutenant James, as we call him, he's going to be out full force this weekend just helping people get along and make sure they're doing it in a lawful way. But Black Powder opens Saturday. I might have time to go, but I got news yesterday that the Ripitos might start thrashing some peanuts, so I know where I'll be. So maybe it'll be wet Saturday morning and I can go.
It could be. Yes, it could be.
So we're live on Facebook. The text line, the KECO Ag text line, is open at 580-225-9697. If you got any legitimate questions while Brent's here on the show, text them in. Or if you got anything you'd like to say, anything at all, just let me know. I got some people looking for hay. If anybody's got any grass hay or wheat hay out there at a reasonable price, if you'll text that in, I'll forward your information to them and let them call you. But I know a couple people's looking for a couple hundred bales of good grass hay. So if you guys know of anything, text it in to me and I'll let them know. And we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We're back. I think Colonel Iverson turned down the volume on all the earphones over here to play pranks on people, so we found the culprit, and now Brent can hear me. It's still currently 66 degrees, the wind's 18 miles an hour out of the north, and wind's gusting up to 24 miles per hour. Well, thanks for coming by.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we were just talking about your job, and you're loving your new challenges.
Loving it. It's going good. Going good. We got plenty of challenges, but I'm enjoying it.
Well,
keeps me out of trouble.
Name a challenge that you can talk about.
Well, the one that I came to talk about is probably the biggest one. We talked about it when you had me on, you know, when you first started, and this February, 12 days of bitter cold. They're calling it Storm Uri now, so we've started naming the winter storms too. So this is Uri, and you know, we talked about that it was going to cost a lot of money.
Yep.
Natural gas prices went through the roof for those 12 days. Overall, as far as our system, as far as consumption, what we used, we didn't use an extra amount out of an ordinary February. We were right in line with our normal February, which tells me that all our members conserved. They cut back, and we're appreciative of that. As far as the whole 13-state area, that for the electric grid, that's very important to be able to do that in those times. And so we're appreciative of that. It's not the consumption that got us money-wise. It's the price of natural gas and the price of fuel of producing the power during those 12 days is what got us. And it wasn't the first 3 or 4 days. It was day 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And
those, basically the whole thing.
It was a supply and demand deal. I mean, you lost your wind turbines. They went offline at some point because the wind quit blowing, and then it was so cold they couldn't get them started back. Some of the wind farms have heaters, and they can get them going. The majority of them don't.
Right.
So we lost solar. You know, most of your solar you lost because it was cloudy. And so that got you down to natural gas, and you lost some of the natural gas because of freeze-up issues. And the ones that weren't frozen up and could move the gas, it was a supply and demand deal. They knew they could make the money, and it's an open
highest
market.
Bidder.
That's right.
Highest bidder.
And so it got real expensive. And fortunately for North Fork, the way we buy power from Western Farmers, we're actually a member of Western Farmers. And so Western Farmers is a co-op, and they generate and transmit all of our power to us. So being a part of that co-op, we're able to reap the rewards of the margins that they make on the power that they sell. And so when they're generating power, whether it's wind, natural gas, or coal, it's going into SPP, which is Southwest Power Pool. It's going into that 13-state electric grid. They're selling into that market every day, all day long.
Is all co-ops into that, like North Fork into Western? Or are they all?
No. There's 20. Don't hold me to this. I think there's 23 of us. There's 23 or 4. I need to look that up exactly. Right. But no, not all co-ops are a member of Western Farmers.
Oh, okay. All, that's what I was curious.
No. All co-ops either get their power from a generation. We call them a GNT, Generation and Transmission Company, or they generate some of their own power. We don't generate any of our own power. We don't have any generation at North Fork. Okay. So all of ours comes from Western Farmers.
Okay.
But Western Farmers generates power every day, and they sell that power into the Southwest Power Pool. And so they bid their generation, whether it's natural gas or coal or wind or solar, they bid into that market every single day of what they can do. And sometimes Southwest Power Pool says, fire up. You get the bid. Some days they say, nope, you're too high. You're not going to run that natural gas generator today, or you're not going to run your coal plant today. It's all up to the electric grid. It's all up to SPP. And I like to explain SPP as they're kind of air traffic control for our 13-state region, which runs from Oklahoma straight north to Canada and then over towards Iowa, Missouri, all the way up into Michigan. So that's kind of the area of the Southwest Power Pool, which is what we're a part
of. That's a big area.
It's a big area. And so what happened in February was they were generating the power. They, as in Western Farmers, is generating the power and bidding it into Southwest Power Pool, and they're making margins on that power that's going in. Well, as you lost your generation, as you lost wind, and as you lost natural gas, you never lost all the natural gas, but we lost part of it. Basically, we got down to coal and some natural gas. And so the coal that was being, the electricity being produced from coal in that the last, let's say, 7 or 8 days of that storm, the margins were tremendous of what Western Farmers was able to push into that market. The margins were tremendous on what they were getting back out for those margins. And they're turning around and buying the power back out of Southwest Power Pool to send to us. Yes. Well, they were buying it back out cheaper than what they were bidding into the market on the coal side, because everybody had lost so much generation, they were able to jack their price of coal up. And so North Fork is reaping the benefit of this overall cost from those margins that they were able to reap from the coal. And so the overall dollar amount that North Fork's looking at is just a little over $3 million for those 12 days. And it would
come from my house.
it would have been about 5.6, 5.7, right in there, million dollars without the benefits of being part of
part
Western
of
Farmers.
Pool.
That's right.
Yeah, part of that pool. Yeah,
that's right.
Until I read that letter yesterday, I was just like, I didn't know that. You know, that's right. Why I called you.
You bet. You bet. And so I wrote a letter that these are going to take, these changes are going to take effect November 1st. And I wrote a letter and put it in with our statements this month explaining how we got to the number, why we got to that number, where the money went, how we're handling it. We were able to take some cash reserves and put towards it so that lowered the amount that we're having to charge to our members. It was very important to us, and when I say us, I work for a seven-member board that represents our different districts, and it was important to me as a manager, and it was important to them as trustees that we allocate the amount of this storm, what it's costing us, we allocate it fairly to our rate classes. We have different rate classes, whether it's a residential meter, an ag meter, which is like a water well, right, hot wire fence charger, irrigation meter, whether it's commercial, you know, small commercial, large commercial, industrial, you've got different rate classes. And so it was important to us that we allocate this percentage wise like it looks like a normal month. I mean, those percentages don't change a whole lot. The residential class pulls about the same month to month to month. You know, it varies a little bit depending on the weather, but percentage-wise, it's about the same. And so we wanted to allocate that out percentage-wise, what a normal month looks like. And so on the residential side, in my letter to our members, it comes out to $5 a month. We were able to finance the rest of that we couldn't pay. We were able to finance it at less than 2% interest. And we chose a 60-month financing plan, and we're not the only ones dealing with this. You're reading in the papers and you're seeing on Facebook and on the internet. Every utility across 13 state areas dealing with, whether it's a natural gas company, ONG, OG&E, AEP hasn't released theirs yet. They'll have to deal with it at some point. The one that has been released that I put in my letter is OG&E, and this was in the September 21st Daily Oklahoman. They released theirs. They're charging, I got to find it here, it's $3 and something. I'm not seeing it in my letter. But for 156 months, they're increasing. And so if you take their increase for the 156 months, it comes out to $613.08. And so on a residential meter, we're $5 a month for 60 months, and so that's $300. And so OG&E's double what we are. And so part of those differences is they're for-profit companies, we're a co-op, and so they're looking at that going, well, we've got this big bill, this is a way for us to make some profits. And so they're going to pass along what it costs them, but they're going to tack in some profits in there too for them, because they're an investor-owned for-profit company, whereas the co-ops are just going to pass along exactly what it costs. I mean, there's no point in us, we don't need to make any margins on this, we just need to recover. We don't need to lose any money.
One question for you.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't mind, can we take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll hit you with that question.
Okay.
While we're hot.
You bet. You bet.
Well, I got, if you're just joining us, Mr. Brent Metters is on here with me. He's the head honcho, I call him, out at North Fork. I'm not very technical guy, Brent. So anyway, he's the head dude out there at North Fork Electric Co-op, and I got him on here, and they sent out some letters with the bills this month, and I haven't heard anybody complain, but you're explaining it and let everybody know what's going on, and might save you some phone calls too.
You bet.
So
you bet.
You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 15th. 2,626 head were sold. 16 head of steers at 372 brought 202. 12 at 520 brought 164. 20 at 594 brought 153.50. 6 at 656 brought 145. 8 at 676 brought 137. 27 at 750 brought 137. 14 head of heifers at 349 brought 149. 30 at 508 brought 132.50. 9 at 607 brought 132. 17 at 648 brought 124. 3 at 708 brought 127. 6 at 733 brought 131. Butcher cows were 2 to 65. Bred cows 450 to 1225. Butcher bulls 23 to 87. Pairs brought 760 to 1400. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We are back, and Mr. Brett Metters is in here with me with from North Fork Electric Co-op, and we're talking about the little two-week snow skiing excursion we had last year. Current temperature is 67. The winds are now at north-northeast at 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 27 miles an hour. Next segment, I will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast from People, my favorite gun shop and store down in Hobart. You ever been in there?
I have not.
You got to go. It's pretty good. Well, we were talking about some stuff, and my question I was going to ask you was before we went to break was, if you guys hadn't been part of that Western deal,
right?
How much would your customers be looking at right now? Increase, but not to $5.
So if we stayed with the 5-year plan, it would probably been close to double. It'd been in the $9 range instead of $5 on the residential meters.
So
and so probably what we would have done is we would have stretched it out for more years, which is what you're seeing with the OG&E, and that's what I expect to come from like AEP. Most of those you're going to see in that 10 to 12, 13 year range. I've heard of one example that's looking at like a 28 year deal. That's way long. I sure don't want to deal with this for 28 years.
Oh, so, no.
And I'll tell you, the conversation with our board of how, you know, the things that were important when we talked about how are we going to handle this was, number one, that it wasn't a big burden. It was the least of a burden to any rate class as possible. That was number one. And then number two was try not to stretch it out any farther than we got to, but we've got to stretch it out to keep that burden level down. And then number three, just that it gets allocated percentage-wise to the rate class fairly, and that not all the oil and gas people aren't all paying for it, or we don't charge it all to the residentials or all to the ag meters. Another example of where we're at, the ag meters, like if you have just a water well / fence charger meter, that rate class, it's $1 a month for 60 months. Is what that one.
Man, I hope Harmon Electric does that. I got one down there.
Right. You're going to see this across. I mean, nobody's immune to this. Everybody's going to have to handle it one way or the other. That's right.
Because that was a big cold. That was a big winter storm that affected all the way from the border all the way up into Canada. So everybody was affected.
You bet.
And it was way below normal temperatures.
You bet.
Even up north.
Right. But so far, I haven't seen anything on the residential side that's less than $5 a month.
Right.
We've been the cheapest. Well, I say that. The OG&E is $393 a month, but it goes on for 13 years. And so as far as total dollar amount, we've been the cheapest that I've seen at the $300.
Yeah, so and that's important.
You bet.
And because, you know, right now still times are – sometimes, you know, times are tough, or still tough, recovering from the COVID deal.
Yes.
And not everybody's just, you know, the oil field slowed down around here, and money just not as plentiful as it used to be, and everybody's on a tight chip.
Right.
So every dollar counts.
the other side of this is going into the winter, and you've been talking about it on your show over the last several weeks. Natural gas keeps going up.
Yep.
And if you listen to the show in the mornings on KCO, the natural gas is bumping that $6 range. And so as natural gas goes up, we start getting fuel surcharges to create power. And we're getting those, and they're going to continue to go higher as natural gas goes higher. And so we're going to see an increase on the fuel surcharge going into this winter. And everything I'm seeing and reading doesn't look like it's going to back off any through the winter. I mean, it may back off some going into next summer, but through the winter, it's going to stay elevated.
Well, we were talking during break, and you was talking about, we were talking about coal fire plants, generation, natural gas. But with all this green energy stuff coming up, what are you hearing?
So it's changing tremendously. The green energy is not a bad source of energy, but it is an intermittent source of energy. You can't just go flip a switch and turn it on. And so if you have a 100-megawatt wind farm, they kind of portray that as it's only about 10 to 15% usable all the time. So it's like 10, if you had 100 megawatts of wind energy, it's only like 10 to 15 megawatts of true energy all the time because it's intermittent. Whereas if you had a 100 megawatt coal fired plant, it's a 100 megawatt coal fired plant. You can fire up the whole thing and run it full speed ahead anytime you want.
When both stacks are smoking.
same thing with natural gas, which is really clean. And so, you know, coal for years now, the government's been trying to get rid of coal, and so it gets smaller and smaller every year. And what I see and what I've learned is eventually we won't have any coal. You know, I don't know when that's coming, but eventually we won't have any. We won't use coal for generating power. And they're, you know, the natural gas continues to get smaller and smaller. They're renewing natural gas permits at this time. I don't know if they're issuing any new natural gas permits, but because they're really pushing the wind and the solar, and those type of that type of energy is good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's clean, like they talk about, and it's good for our environment. But when we need lots of power and we need it now, it's not necessarily the answer. And so when you argue with those people that are for it, their answer is we're going to have these blackouts. There's going to be times that it's just going to be a way of life. You know?
We had two in that storm this year.
We, North Fork, had two circuits that rolled through the blackout in that storm, and then we were good after that.
Right.
But they talk about it casually like it's just going to be a part of life. And I'm not okay with that. I think you can keep your fossil fuel generation going and keep it clean and good for the environment and have it for your, you know, we call it base generation. It's your base, and you don't have to run just on that base generation. You can have this other green energy to help you along the way, but I don't think getting rid of it completely is the answer.
No, and generator sales are going to be up.
Yes.
Big time. And yep. That's what I see coming.
Yep.
Because it looks like their mind's already set that by a certain, whether it's 2030 or 2040,
right,
where, you know, not only coal, fossil fuels.
That's right.
I mean, they're just...
And there's dates that are set, but as we go through different administrations, you know, those dates are going to get moved around and changed. And so my hope is we can keep it going, keep that base generation with the fossil fuels as a backup and keep some generation going that way. It's going to be the best for our area.
Right. Well, I know, you know, this... just my personal opinion, not mine. It's a professional journalist here on the
radio. You bet.
But, you know, I see this once we do it, once the fossil fuels are done away with, if they are done away with, I see, you know, people with all you see is ads on TV now during football game, blah, 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 all this electric car stuff. And that's fine if that's what you want.
Right.
I'm not going to be pulling my cattle from Willow all the way to Elk City and making a one charge with a trailer load of cattle.
Right.
That ain't happening.
Right.
I'm not buying that many batteries. But there's, so you got these rolling blackouts. What's going to happen to the majority of people who have electric cars and we're in a winter storm and it's still good enough that they can get from one point to work or whatever, but they don't have nothing to charge their cars with. They don't have any electricity at home.
Right.
And I mean, there's just no end of the bad things. There's more bad than good.
That's right.
And are down. There's more down than up on the deal. But, you know, 4 to 6 years ago, actually the last 10 years, they've been pushing to get coal plants switched over to natural gas.
Right, right.
And I worked in Wyoming next to some of the biggest coal mines there is, and I worked in West Virginia. And what's funny, the ones in West Virginia, they don't meet the standard to burn coal in any electric plants. So they're shipping it, and they've got it all sold. They're shipping it to China.
Right, right.
And that's where our number one polluter is anyway. And I'm not picking on China, but it's just a fact. And so there's just –
there's challenges.
How many years you got left at North Fork?
20 anyway. So there's challenges. There's challenges.
Yeah, there's challenges is a good word.
I love the comic. You've probably seen it, but the electric car is pulled up there at the convenience store and it's plugged into the extension cord, and then the extension cord runs over there to the diesel generator with the black smoke going up in there.
I've seen that thing 100 times. It's not that I'm anti green or nothing.
I'm not either.
But there's just common sense has to come into play.
There's a happy medium for it all to be in there, and it can be a really good mix, and it can work really good together. But if you completely get rid of the fossil fuels, it's going to not be a good situation.
Well, you guys are in the mix of it. You got solar farms that you get electricity from, wind farms,
yes,
coal farms, I'm guessing,
and natural gas. Yes.
And I know. I forgot until you, I didn't remember. I got to quit saying forgot. My wife,
right.
Remember. Anyway, I remember the story after you told me the Texas, they're on their own grid.
That's right.
But that was the craziest event in the whole winter storm down there with the,
they didn't shut down. They didn't do the rolling blackouts correctly. And so they're, their grid, the people running the computer part of their grid, didn't roll it through like they should have, and they actually had power failure,
right?
Not power blackouts. And when it failed, overloaded the system, then they had to physically go out and rebuild that system. And so it just made the cost of it,
unreal.
Unreal. 100 times more than what it would have been.
I've seen billions.
Yes.
I remember seeing numbers in the billions, not millions.
That's right.
So that was interesting. Well, do you got anything else you want to tell all your customers out there? Because they're our biggest listeners.
That's all I've got. Just that change starts November 1st, and then just be aware natural gas is high, and so that's going to give us a fuel surcharge at least through the winter. And
so conserve should be on everybody's mind.
I think conserving when you can is going to be a new way of life. I think we all have to try to do that when we can, just because of this, the way they're generating power. That's going to be the best answer for what we can do.
Conservation. Well, yep. Brent, thank you so much for coming in.
You bet.
I'm going to go to one more break and finish up the show, and thank you so much for coming by.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Brent.
Uh-huh.
You've been listening to myself, Jimmy Clark, and Brent Matters with North Fork Electric Co-op out here. You come in to help explain the new rate that they are going up on in November, which is not very much, but explain why they're having to do it. But right after this, we'll be back with the Long Ranger, and appreciate you guys listening. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, October 21st. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Higgins, got 95 steers, nevers, or Charlotte Cross off the Cowway, 6 to 8. And his neighbors got 25 steers, nevers, same deal, 6 to 8. Alba got 60 steers, nevers, 4 to 6. Coldwater, Kansas, 100 steers, nevers, 4.5 to 6. They're black. They're nice. Leedy, 54, heifers and bull calves, 5 to 6. Hennessy, 136 steers and heifers, they're black off the cow, 4 to 550. And Fargo got 28 bull calves and heifer calves, 500 pounds. Shattuck got 84 steers, number 6 to 8. Hevener, Oklahoma, 75 heifers, 6 to 750. Fairview, 51 steers, number 6 to 7. Woodward got 67 heifers, 7.5. Buffalo, 70 heifers, 7 to 8. Hevener, 66 steers at 8. Slapout, 17 steers, 735. Fargo got 65 steers at 8. Fargo, 30 heifers at 8. Arnett, 30 steers. At $6.75, they're weaned. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle. We will start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. Remember, we work 100% for the seller. Never blind to the buyer. I put a solid price on your cattle, helping us get more for your cattle, and let us run a very speedy auction. Give us a call. We work for you. Thanks, Kim Jury 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, I hope that helped anybody that had any questions on the electrical $5 electrical increase on residentials for North Fork and PSO and OG&E. Those are coming if they haven't already came. So anyway, it was a bad winter storm this year, this past winter. So I hope we'll be getting everything straightened out and back to normal life. But as Brent and I was talking about the green energy and stuff, I don't think there's anything normal about anything anymore, but that's just my opinion. The Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Current temperature is 68 degrees. Nathan Brewer, dew point's 40. The winds are out of the northeast. 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 24. Supposed to get up to 75 today, and we're not too far from there. Tonight, low of 46. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with north wind switching from to come back out of the south sometime tomorrow. And it's going to be a whopping 75 degrees tomorrow, 81 Friday, 85 Saturday, and 86 Sunday. And it looks like the rain has been taken out of the forecast. So that's a good thing. And I got some Texas. Hey, you guys know the Hobart Stockyards is happening right now. And Friday will be the Elk City Livestock Auction, and Monday will be the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction over there east of Clinton on I-40. So if you got any cattle that are needing to go in Friday or this weekend or Saturday, call Mr. Brandon Hickey, and he'll help you with your buying and selling needs. They do a good job at both places. So I got some messages in on the text line, if it'll come up. There it is. All right. I got one gentleman at 821-0306 has 45 bales of good, clean grass hay for sale. 45 bales of good, clean grass hay for sale. 821-0306. And then I got another gentleman that's got 500 bales of native hay, native grass hay, fair quality, $40 a bale. Plains, round bales, good quality. $40 a bale on the native hay and $65 a bale on the plains. I'm guessing that's plains blue stem round bales. They're very good quality. And he's in Putnam, 580-445-5674. I hope that helps you guys that were looking for some hay. If you didn't get those numbers, text me in on the KCO text line at 580-225-9697, and I'll shoot you those numbers. But if you need them before the end of the hour, you need to do it before the end of the hour, because once I leave here after the show, those text lines get lost in hyperspace. Well, I seen an article yesterday that I wanted to talk to you guys about. Actually, my favorite mother-in-law sent it to me. She lives at Billings, Oklahoma, there between Perry and Enid. And You know, you guys have noticed in the last 5 to 10 years that Maristail's weeds have come on with a vengeance. And Maristail, or horse weed as we call it, is a challenging weed to manage in a no-till or minimal-till cropping system. The weed is classified as a winter annual, but it germinates well into the spring and summer, making it even difficult to manage. In addition to an extended germination window, Maristail can produce up to 200,000 seeds per plant, with approximately 80% of those seeds being able to germinate immediately after they mature. Seeds can germinate on the soil surface, which is why the weed is so troublesome in minimum tillage operations. Producers also face the added difficulty of trying to manage GR. It's resistant due to the extended germination window of Maristail. It is important to scout and control Maristail in both the fall and the spring. And last winter was a good example. I seen quite a bit of Maristail coming up in my wheat crop, but when I swathed it, it hadn't come up very big. When I swathed my wheat, it kind of took care of that problem. Fall emerged Maristail can be difficult to control if allowed to grow until planting in the fall and spring. Acceptable control of fall emerged Maristail with herbicide applications at planting will be unlikely because the Maristail are generally too large. Control can be achieved with both fall and early spring herbicide applications, but due to inconsistent weather conditions, it may be advantageous to opt for a fall application. Other control options include tillage and cover crops. Glyphosate resistance adds another layer of complexity to the managing Maristail. It's generally recommended to include 4 herbicides, such as 2,4-D, dicamba, Sterin Alter, and Epilor, if I said that right, in a tank mix to control GR Maristail. Control of Maristail in the stage is similar along amongst the group 4 herbicides, but dicamba controls bolted Maristail better than 2,4-D and any of those others I just mentioned. Residue herbicides in fall applications may be beneficial if there has been a history of Maristail infestation in that field. Effective residue herbicides, they are effective in control of Spartan, Valor, Classic, Sharpen. Those have been also effective in controlling Maristail as a part of the fall or spring. Burn down has no residue activity addition to GR's Maristail. There's also confirmed population of ALS resistance Maristails, which may reduce the utility of ALS herbicides for controlling Maristail. It's important to consider rotation restrictions with some of these herbicides. Fall and spring tillage has been shown to be effective in controlling Maristail for a spring planted crop. When tillage is not utilized in the fall, Maristail will establish and be present in the spring. If the implementing a minimum tillage system is the goal, Maristail can be controlled when a fall herbicide application is followed by a shallow tillage in the spring. Utilizing cover crops can result in fewer and smaller Maristail plants in the field. Kansas research has showed a complete suppression of Maristail with a cereal rye cover crop paired with spring herbicide applications. This strategy is especially important for producers struggling with herbicide-resistant Maristail's population, as is well reduce the selection pressure on the herbicide. The key to achieving effective suppression of Maristail with cover crops is early planting. Early planting allows the cover crop to emerge and produce high amounts of biomass before Maristail's emergence. So there is your catch up on the Maristail, because we have got plenty of them. Oh my God, they're crazy. Well, yesterday I was talking to you guys about the cold weather around the corner, and it's time to do all kinds of equipment preps for the winter. Not only check your antifreeze and all that good stuff, and clean your equipment up good. If there's not a bunch of residue in your equipment, as far as like straw, wheat, weeds, or whatever, mice and rats don't have anything to make any beddings out of with besides the wiring on your tractor or baler or swath or whatever you got to winterize. But this is out of Stillwater, and I was telling you guys that I was going to let you know in on my little trick I learned this year. Well, there's dozens of nooks and crannies under the hood of a piece of a farm machinery that are attractive to many rodent species. However, the last thing you want to do is provide an efficient apartment for these rodents to stay in rent-free for the winter. The wiring harness is appealing, and it's readily available chew toy, which will cause lots of problems next spring. Mr. Shelton, Kevin Shelton, who's the Oklahoma State University Extension Associate Specialist, said the easiest thing to do to deter rodents is to simply raise the hood while machinery is stored in a barn or a shed. This allows lights in and makes the engine compartment less attractive. However, this may not be appropriate for outside storage due to rain, wind, and snow. When I was working in South Texas down there along the border, I finally stopped and asked one of those ranchers. I mean, every vehicle I seen down there, truck, Jeep, car, whatever, even parked in front of their house, they always pop the hood on it. So I asked him, I said, why do you guys do that? He said, well, dark places is where those rats and mice like to get in there, pack rats like to get in there and make their beds and stuff. So we pop the hoods up. So like this guy just said, let's daylight in. But they had another thing that they were watching out for: rattlesnakes. If you haven't seen those rattlesnakes in South Texas, dude, they are big. That's the only thing I believe. When South Texas, in Texas, everything's bigger. Well, the rattlesnakes are bigger. So they didn't have, because some of those snakes, I've seen one, I ran over one, seen the Border Patrol shoot one down there one day. We're talking 7-8 foot long, and I have a size 11 boot, and they were bigger than my boot. So if you start that up and one of them is wrapped up in there, it's going to do some damage to your engine. Baits and traps also are options in developing a control program. Snap traps are one of the oldest types of traps and usually provide a quick death to the rodent. Mice typically have small territory, so traps must be placed within their range to be effective. They can be placed under a vehicle hood and inside the cab and the glove box. Be sure to place snap traps where pets don't have access. Live catch traps are rodent stations that can be baited with a food attractant, and some may have snap traps or glue guards inside, or glue boards, I'm sorry, inside. Because rodents are naturally inquisitive, sticky traps or glue boards work well. Well, speaking of sticky traps and glue boards, this year I had a mouse inside my 4960, and I set snap traps in there with bait on it. I finally got some those sticky boards, sticky traps, the glue boards. And I put, this is my little secret. I got a patent pended on it so you guys can't use this. No, I'm just kidding. Take a dab of peanut butter and put right in the middle of that glue trap. And bam, it's over with. It's done with. And because all animals, I'm talking coyotes, deer, pigs, rats, they love peanuts. And they love peanut butter, and they can smell that for miles. And I don't know what the deal is, but if you just put a little bit of dab of peanut butter and if it's a big rat, you might have to put four of those glue boards together, stick them together into a big square. But put that peanut butter in the middle, and I promise you, you got him. So rodents are naturally inquisitive, so. We're talking about the sticky traps. Mice are nibblers, so putting a little bait in several bait stations will help increase consumption. Use several kinds of bait stations. Just use several kinds of bait until a preference is detected, then use the one until feeding stops. Always use an enclosed bait station and never place them where children or pets can have access. Irish Spring soap. works good. I put it in my baler and my swather every winter. I'm getting ready to put it in there this week. In the front of my John Deere baler, there's that little tunnel in there. I put a little pieces. Don't put the whole bar in there. You really need to put little chunks of it. Cut it up with your knife and throw it in all places. And my baler is, 5 years old, and I have not had one mouse problem. My first trouble actually was this year with the tractor, and I don't know where that thing come from, but I finally had one in the tractor, but I already caught her and found her nest and got rid of the babies. I let them loose over at my neighbor's place because I didn't want to be that guy to get rid of all those baby mice, but I let it over the neighbor. Also, avoid placing baits where non-targeted animals are likely to come in contact. Natural predators are playing their own part in pest control as well. Snakes, venomous, non-venomous, barn cats, foxes, and bobcats. So it won't be long till these rodents are looking for a new home this winter because winter bounces. Appreciate Brent coming in from North Fork. And you guys here in just a little bit. Drew will be here with the Back Road Show. So have a great day and God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.